All right. Good to see everybody today. Today being September the 21st, 2025, I want to start on lesson number 11 out of the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah. We're going to be looking at Nehemiah chapter 9 today. And let me mention this too. There will be no meeting tonight. I mentioned last week we'd meet tonight to go over this. But we're not going to do that tonight because we've got several folks that wanted to be on the list. They're out of town traveling and trying to get out the last little visits and things. So we'll do that again probably in October when everybody's back in. Next week is our pie fellowship. Amen. So don't forget, next Sunday night is our pie fellowship. All right? All right. We're looking at our lesson today. This is lesson number 11. Lesson number 11 in this tremendous series from the book of Nehemiah. And today's lesson is entitled, Set the Example. Set the Example. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. He said, Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an ensample. You know what? Each of us today are examples. We're either good examples or we're bad examples, but we're all examples. And I want to be a good example for the Lord Jesus Christ. In the lesson today, I think I could sum up this whole lesson today by asking this question. Who around me, or who around you, who around me is reflecting my heartbeat for the Lord today? Man, do folks get excited about serving the Lord because they see that I'm excited serving the Lord? You know, do they get excited about serving the Lord because they see what God has done in your life and they say, man, that's a good example to follow after. I want that type of example in my life. And in today's lesson, we're going to see how that part of becoming a spiritual leader involves our setting a godly example before others. We set a godly example before others. I never will forget when my wife and I we had children, and we're trying to teach them to eat right, okay? Eat right. And Lisa would always say, now, guys, you got to eat your vegetables or you can't have any dessert tonight. Oh, I don't like carrots. And Stephen would always say, I don't like lettuce and salad. I'm not a rabbit. And I said, well, you may not be a rabbit, okay, but you're going to eat your salad. You're going to eat your greens, okay? All right? So she would look at me, and she'd say, do like your daddy does. Daddy loves his vegetables, doesn't he? You know, the head is shaking and the eyes squinting, okay? I said, oh, yes, daddy loves his vegetables. But you know what? After a while, I learned to love those vegetables too. And I can sit down and eat a whole bowl full of vegetables or whatever today and just love it. But I had to be a right example setter before my children. And you know what? We need to do the same thing before one another with our Christian faith. We're trying to encourage folks to live for the Lord, okay? We're trying to encourage folks to do that which is right. And I've seen in my ministry through the years many people who talk the talk, but they refuse to walk the walk. And you know, I heard a man say one time, he said, our talk talks and our walk talks, but our walk talks louder than our talk talks. Okay? That's hard to say, but it's true. And folks, we need to walk the right way. It's not always an easy thing to do, to put our money where our mouth is. It's not always easy, but it's always right. And God wants us to have the right heartbeat. We're going to see that in the lesson today with Nehemiah, okay? So I want to get down to the lesson today. I don't know that I'll finish this today. I'm going to try, but I don't know that I will. If I don't, I'll finish it next week. Amen? But the lesson is entitled, Set the Example. Now, let me start off today by asking you this one question. I just want to ask you, how has your walk in Christ been influenced or affected by others in their walk with Christ? I remember I had a Sunday school teacher, several Sunday school teachers, that loved me enough to teach me to do right. They rebuked me when I did wrong. They encouraged me when I didn't know what to do right. And they set before me an example that I still owe them today. I'm a great debtor today. I owe a debt of gratitude to many people in my life for teaching me, for loving me, for teaching me truth. Truth is something that the world hates today. They do not want to hear truth. But you know what? It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to see it put in action in people's lives. And so let me ask you today, how has your walk in Christ been influenced by others? How has it been influenced, affected by others in your life? You know, have you walked with people? Have you watched with people? Have you served with people that just, man, doesn't matter what happens in their life, they just continue living for God? You know what? I want to be that way. I want to continue to be that way. Human examples are powerful tools that God uses, okay, to teach us how to live and to better see and understand that we can be faithful serving the Lord. We can be faithful. You know what? The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, it gives us a truth here that we need to absorb today. And if you don't have this written down, I don't know if I put this in the bulletin or not. I think I did, but if I didn't, please write it down and look it up. It's Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. And here the Bible reminds us that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. Let me say it again. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And you know what? God's people need some good godly examples to follow today. Don't you need some good godly examples? And you know what? The folks around you need some good godly examples, and they're looking to you. Your family is looking to you. Your neighbors are looking to you. I got to tell you, Monday night, I'd been mowing, and I helped my wife that morning up until about 1 o'clock, 1:30 in the afternoon with the machine that we got in. We've been learning this new machine and trying to get stuff set up. We had a conference call with a manufacturer on it and trying to figure out some stuff with the software and all kinds of stuff. So I worked with her on that. And I didn't get to start on mowing my yard. It had been almost a month since I've mowed my yard. And I haven't mowed it simply because it was too dry. I just thought I was going to kill the grass if I did that. But it got up high enough, my little dog, I'd lose her in the jungle, in the yard there. So I wanted to have it down for her, okay? So I went out and I started mowing the yard. My mower, I put some bushel baskets on the back of it. It holds three bushel baskets. So I can hold 9 bushels of grass on the back before I have to dump it. I dumped my mower 11 times before finishing my yard. That's 99 bushels of grass I threw out in the woods. All right, 99 bushels of grass. I'll do it in 2 more weeks if it starts raining like they're talking about this week. And you know what? It looks so good. I was just so happy with it. I was just excited. So I went to take some trash to the dumpster. And I got in the car, and of course my wife had been using the car that day, and she, as usual, she forgot to tell me, "Oh, honey, there's not much gas in the car." So I called her and I said, "Honey, you forgot to tell—" "Oh yeah, I meant to tell you that." I said, "I don't even know if I can get to where I'm going to go with this trash and stuff." So I had to go get gas, and it was about 7:30. I had 30 minutes to get down here with my little Gas Buddy app before this place closed. I got gas for $2.66 with my Gas Buddy app. That's a free ad, okay, all right. Got down there, and I got a phone call while I'm getting gas. It was from my niece, my sister's daughter. And she called to talk to me about the Lord, and some people have been talking about the tribulation coming up. And I said, listen, we're still here on this earth. tribulation has not started. But the Lord Jesus could come today. Amen. And you need to tell your friends they need to be ready for Christ. And I was trying to go through some stuff with her on it. And she said, well, we've been thinking about going back to church. And they've gotten in the church. She's working as a nurse. She's going back to school. She wants to start going to church again. And she said, we've been thinking about letting Ellie, that's her daughter, my great niece, get baptized. And I said, well, wait a minute. Has Ellie been saved yet? And she said, well, we haven't had a chance to talk to her because we don't really know what to say. So I was just wondering, would you be willing to talk to her sometime when you have free time? Would you just be willing to talk to her? And I said, if you'll give me about 10 minutes, let me get finished gassing up and get back to the house, I'll talk to her tonight. So I got back to the house. I set up my little phone and this little camera thing, set it up, pulled out my wordless book, and I called her up on the video. And through the video, I went through the whole wordless book with her. Now, she's just 8 years old. And that little girl prayed and asked Christ to come in her heart, forgive her of her sins, and to save her soul. It was about 5 minutes till nine. And next thing I knew, my niece was posting it on Facebook. My daughter just got saved. Now, here's the exciting thing. They're in North Carolina. They called me. I was excited. And as Gabrielle, my niece, was telling her mom and dad and her brother that's with them, living with them right now, he's out of college now, and he's got him a job, but he's still living at home with mom and dad right now. And he told Gabrielle, he said, I remember the day when I got saved on January 1st, and Uncle Ray came and told me about Jesus, and I got saved, and now little Ellie's going to go to heaven too. And man, they were excited. And I thought, man, you know what? They got to see Christ in me. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just saying they needed to talk to somebody. They wanted to find out truth. And they called me. And I'm thankful for that. And you know what? As we look at this lesson today about Nehemiah being an example, he not only set the example, but he wanted to be an example that others could follow. I want to be one that somebody could say, you know what? He taught me the Lord Jesus Christ. He taught me to serve the Lord. When I am dead and gone on this earth, and you know what? We don't know when that day is going to be. Man, I could go home and be splitting more wood tomorrow and die out there before I even get to light the fire and enjoy the thing. But you know what? Listen, if I do, I know where I'm going. But I would want folks to be able to say, you know what? He loved me and he taught me about Jesus. He taught me truth. He set the right example. I want to be a good example of the believers in my life. Don't you? We should all want to be a good example. Now, the world is needing some examples that they can follow. We got too many examples out here today that are not good examples to follow. There are too many folks out there like that today. But what they need are some folks that will stand up and love them enough to teach them truth. Not beating them on the head, but just loving them to Christ. And you know what? Nehemiah did that. He had a desire to teach his people. He loved his people. He loved the city of Jerusalem. And he wanted to be the right example. He had some good godly characteristics in his life. And I want us to see that today in this lesson. First thing, I want you to see this. The people fasted. And let me say this. I didn't put this on here. I should have put it on here. But they fasted and they prayed, even as Nehemiah fasted and prayed. Now, I know folks that love to brag about fasting. Okay? Fasting is when you go without eating or drinking anything for a while. But the purpose of fasting is to take the time that you would normally eat and spend it with God. That's what it's all about. It's not just to boast and brag and say, well, I fasted for 3 days and three nights and went without food and supper. Well, let me ask you, that's good, but what did you do during that time? Well, I just sat and watched TV. I read a good book. You know, I did this. Listen, there's more to this than what we oftentimes think about. It's taking that time that you use for one thing and using it for something else, to talk to God, to spend time alone with God. That's what Nehemiah did. Look at Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 1 here. Look at it with me today. The Bible said, now in the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. They were presenting themselves humble before the Lord. Now, if you remember from last week's lesson, the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter number 8, just go back one chapter, Nehemiah chapter number 8, verses 9 and 10. The Bible said, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, the governor, okay, and Ezra, the scribe, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them of whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the Lord is for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And when the people first heard the word of God and understood what it said, they were grieved in their hearts. But Ezra commanded them to rejoice in the mercy and goodness of God. When is the last time that you just sat down and rejoiced and thought about the goodness of God? I got a little glass jar. My wife gave me a little glass jar. And we cut up little index cards in the sections. And she gave me a little jar. And it's called I call it my blessing jar. And I've got that in my office downstairs in the basement. And I'll go through and just thinking about what God's done for me, and I'll write down something I'm thankful for, that God has blessed, how God has heard my plea, how God has given me strength. God has allowed me to live for Him, set a good example. And that little jar is packed full now. I fold it up and put it down in there, and I got to get me another jar now, because the blessings that God has given are so much more than the trials that the devil throws our way. But we got to take time with God to recognize them and to thank Him for that. America is not a very thankful people anymore. We've been blessed of God, but sad to say, we're not a thankful people as we ought to be. And folks, He told me, He said, listen, you've been convicted by the Word of God. You know what you've done wrong. You know where you failed the Lord at. Now, go back and thank God for His mercy. Rejoice in the fact that you're still God's child. Rejoice in the fact that God has blessed you and given you an opportunity to serve Him. Why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. It will get you through the day, amen? When the devil is fighting you, the joy of the Lord is what sustains you. And that's what we need to do. When the people first heard the Word of God, they understood it. It grieved them that they had done wrong. It grieved them because of their disobedience toward God. But then Ezra commanded them to rejoice. And now, after observing the goodness of God, these people decided they would do as Nehemiah had done and had testified to them about when he first learned. You remember back in Nehemiah chapter 1, when he first learned about Jerusalem's situation, what did he do? He fasted and he prayed. He asked God for wisdom. He asked God to humble the heart of the king so that he could be able to talk to him. And the Bible said in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, and it came to pass When I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Nehemiah took time to set the example. And the people saw that. He didn't do it for show, but they knew that he was serious about his time with God. Now let me ask you today, folks, and I'm not trying to fuss, or I'm not trying to make you mad at me. I love you today. I want to ask you, when's the last time that anybody in your family or your neighborhood, the people that you work with, found out that you were serious about your love for God, about your service unto God, about the joy that's just bubbling up in your soul about being able to serve the Lord? Listen, our children need to see that. Our grandchildren need to see that. My son-in-law sent me a little email last week, and he's teaching his six-year-old daughter, our granddaughter, Sophia, Bible verses, and she was sitting on his lap in the chair, and Heather recorded it, and she was quoting Bible verses. I was about to come unglued, man. I was just happy in the Lord. My children are serving the Lord. And you know what? It's not always been easy. And you know what? None of us is perfect. But they're beginning to serve the Lord. And I get to see it. You know, look at number two here just a moment. The people mourned, even as Nehemiah had mourned. Let me ask you something today, folks. When is the last time that sin broke your heart? When is the last time that what you see going on in our nation, our country, our world today broke your heart enough to say, you know what, God? It's not the Republicans that's going to fix this. It's not the Democrats. It's not the independents or the liberals or whatever else is out there growing up. That's not what's going to fix it, Lord. You know what the world needs? It needs Jesus. And Lord, I need to go and tell somebody. I need to go and tell somebody about Jesus. You know what? Even on vacation. Now, we've not been on vacation in the 14 years we've been here, just me and Lisa alone. We've not gone anywhere. Now, we'll go down and visit our family. I'll go down at the same time at the conference in July and you know, see the family. At the same time I'm at the Sword Conference, we'll go down and try to see everybody and make 1,200 miles of rounds seeing everybody at Christmas time. But just to get away on our own, we've not done that in the time that we've been here. Honestly, we've just not done it. There's not been enough time in the day to do it. But you know what? When we go down the road, I keep gospel tracts. And I was so upset the other day. I went to pull some gospel tracts out of my pocket, and I didn't have any more in there. I had one. And I thought, Lord, I don't mean to be mean, but Lord, don't send anybody by me today that I need to give a gospel tract to until I can reload my pocket here. Good night. And I went back, and I got some more. And you know what? I only got one left in there now of that one. I got several Jewish tracts, and I still got several Spanish tracts in there. And I try to keep some of each in there, okay? I know it makes me look like I'm a big built-up guy, you know, and all these muscles and everything like that. But you know what? Listen, everywhere I go, I can leave a gospel tract. We'll stop at the rest stop. We'll stop at every rest stop just so we can leave gospel tracts in the bathroom. And I'll usually take a big stack like that, and I'll come back with maybe just about like that. Because I see people, and people are dying and going to hell. People are dying without Christ today. They need to know the Savior, and nobody's telling them. And you know what? The Bible said here, Nehemiah warned. Look at this verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 1. Now on the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting, with sackcloths and earth upon them. And once again, they followed the example of their leader, Nehemiah. But why would these people now be mourning after what we read about in Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 and 10 last week? I want to tell you why. I'm going to give you four things before we close out. They had been told not to weep, not to sorrow, but to rejoice in the Lord, because that would be their strength. But Judah had, without a doubt, been restored. But it had not yet been set free from Persian rule. Now, you and I today, we live in what they call a free country. We're seeing it's becoming less and less free, but we live in the only country in the world that everybody wants to come to. And we have that to be thankful for today. But folks, listen to me. There are a lot of people that's not free today, not free from sin, not free from drug abuse, not free from alcohol, not free from all of the other stuff. I want you to go down in verse number 37 in Acts, or Nehemiah chapter number 9 here. Verse number 37, I believe it is. Yeah. The Bible said here, "And it yielded much increase unto the kings whom thou hast set over us because of our sins. Also, they have dominion over our bodies and over our cattle at their pleasure, and we are in great distress." Why do they mourn? Because of the consequences of sin. And folks, we ought to be mourning for America today because of the consequences of sin that have already come upon us and are going to come if our hearts are not revived. Number two, we see that Judah was still a province of Persia. Judah was still a province. Therefore, it owed great taxes and great loyalty to a pagan king. Boy, we've seen that today, are we not? We're having to lose our Whoppers from Shoppers because of the tax thing that our governor just passed. They're shutting down companies. Company after companies are shutting down because of great taxes. They mourn because of that. They mourn because while the Jews now, number three, had the favor of Persia, they wondered whether that favor would last or not. So this had become a burden to them. But number four, because of all this, favor with Persia was not a guaranteed thing. And if you look at verse 37, they wrote there, Nehemiah wrote, and he said, "And we are in great distress." And because of all this, the people now, as Nehemiah had done before them, brought their concerns and their cares unto the Lord. They didn't just sit around and feel sorry for their situation. They said, "Lord, we have sinned. And Lord, these are the consequences of our sin. And God, we are sorry for what we've done. And Father, we don't know what to do. So we're going to bring these burdens and lay them at your feet." And you know what? That's what they did. And you know what? That's what you and I have got to learn to do today. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Casting all your cares upon Him." All of them. No matter how minute, no matter how humongous they may be, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. Amen. He cared for them, and He wanted them to see it. And the people, not only did the people mourn, but number three, the people confessed their sins, even as Nehemiah had confessed his sins. And if you'll come back next week, I'll touch on this, okay? I'll get this for you. Listen, there is so much to learn as Nehemiah set the example. You know what? He sets the example for you and me today. And we need to be willing to follow that example. Why? So that we can help others to live for the Lord. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, Lord, thank you, God, for this lesson. And Lord, I know I didn't get through it. Man, I didn't get through any part of it like I wanted to today. But Father, thank you for the Word of God and for this man of God that set an example for us to follow as believers, as born-again Christians. Lord, help us, God, to be willing to set a right example before the eyes of our family, our loved ones, our workmates, Lord, so that they can see Christ in us. Lord, let us leave a legacy behind that folks will know that Christ was real in our lives. Not fake, but real. And Father, we'll thank you for what you do. Bless our pastor now as he stands to preach for us. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday School.